welcome along to the ultimate audio experience. It's Rock Me Sideways.
In 4D.
Four-dimensional sound.
Fuck, it so looks 5D with those fucking earphones on, Pud.
Oh, I know, full space cadet tonight. That's because your fucking microphone is crap.
That's it, that is very true.
I bet you're shouting some serious expletives at the television with them on when you're playing FIFA now. No idea of the volume of your voice, like.
No, it's always, that's fucking bullshit is usually the... it's the usual rant, or what's he fucking doing? Shouting at a made-up individual. Well, not completely made-up, okay. But not a real person.
Van Dyke.
I will sub people off as well if they're not performing. Like, bringing subs off for subs, like fucking have a get swell.
Mate, have you seen Pie Face? Have you seen clips of him?
Yeah, he's brilliant. He's so
game off. What's Pogba doing? Game off the fucking field. Game out.
He's like this chunky lad from down in Plymouth who like does FIFA. He was on Big Brother and all that apparently, and he's on Deal or No Deal.
Is that the one that keeps losing his shit? Losing his shit when something goes wrong.
Ed goes.
He streams games now and he's got on TikTok. Like, it's just fucking
brilliant. Yeah, I've seen
magic,
him on
TikTok.
It's
brilliant. Like, loves the Argyle. Go on.
There we are.
Anyway, there we are. Yeah, nice start, really. Yeah. Fucking bullshit.
So, you're joined this evening by Moggs, Puddin, and Jonathan Abb. Courtney's pulled
two
out.
Two weeks in a row, Jonathan Abb. You well?
Evening. I'm in the rhythm now, that's it. Yeah, good.
Feel the rhythm.
Yeah,
feel the
feeling it. Yeah.
Gearing up, it's Jonathan Abb time. Courtney pulled out last minute, didn't he? Did he give a reason?
No, he just said unavailable now.
He's still down in.
I imagine Barty shared some 4K content with him.
I was going to say, premium 4K. 100%.
Yeah, that's my evening ruined.
Still sorting the windows out down in Butlins. Ready for the summer.
What we've been up to, then, boys? Anything interesting happened?
Nah, work's been a bit of a bitch, like, but apart from that sound, just been a busy little bee. But not much, really. It was fuck all happened on the weekend because there was no rugby on, was there?
Yeah.
It was more of a reload of a weekend. And we are where we are now. Good old Boris has given some dates,
nice to see some.
Whether he'll stick to these fuckers.
Nice to see some light at the end of the tunnel, possibly, though.
Yeah, at least there's a fucking date to aim for, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, it's looking like we'll get some sort of summer, which is a positive, but...
Oh, don't fucking...
Yeah, James.
It's just there's so many fucking morons in this country, like, you know, if we can just hang fire for a couple of months, we should be alright, like, but who knows?
Straight off the bat, like...
Oh, talking fucking politics.
Straight in.
Brexit bollocks is a load of shit. It's cool. I can't get any fucking metal.
Oh, but I can't get any printers. Stock, but. There's no stock anywhere, and it's fucking me right off.
I got some fucking order sat in Bilston. It's been there 5 fucking weeks. I can't get it released.
Well, I went to Tesco's the other day, and I couldn't get any fucking strawberries, so I wouldn't happy about
that. Oh, there we are, then.
But it was pancake day, so maybe... It was just coincidence.
Strawberries and your pancakes, nice.
I personally don't, but it was
all right.
What's the take on pancakes then? Because Beth's about savoury and sweet.
No.
Sweet.
Nah, I mean, like beans and cheese in a pancake. As your dinner.
Get out.
Oh, fuck off.
As your dinner.
She's an absolute pig. If she
get her off the field.
not personal, but that's just shocking.
And then Nutella and strawberries afterwards. Yeah, it was a revelation to me.
Wow, I mean, what? You'd married her before knowing this. She sucked you in, got the ring on the finger, and then, oh, by the way, I have beans and cheese in my pancakes on pancake day.
Nearly went in the bin, but honestly, it's as you can imagine, it's like Christmas Day for me, pancake day.
Yeah, you just have for 7, don't you, as dessert, like, just slamming it down.
What's your tipple, Joe? What's your toppings of choice?
Our mum was always like pretty calorific when I was a kid, so it was
shock.
Yeah, Nutella, ice cream, the full
ice
fucking
cream.
Yeah, ice cream. You did the standard like lemon and sugar sometimes, and but by the time I hit the 7th, I was probably a bit packed.
Like.
See, are you like, do you go like American style or crepe?
No,
crepe. Yeah, full crepe. Yeah.
Anyone who's American is just wrong in the head. Like. for pancake day. Look, you can have your American for breakfast with a bit of bacon and syrup. I can handle that. But pancake day is purely crepe style, lemon and sugar, a bit of perhaps strawberry jam, Nutella, or what was my favourite? Maple syrup.
Do I add this here?
Oh, don't upset me now.
First year ever, I tried the American style, made my own.
Oh, fucking hell.
Nice. Not as good as crepes. I'll be happy to admit that. Good, but I had banana, peanut butter, and have you seen the Biscoff spread you can get?
Oh, damn.
Unbelievable combo. Unbelievable.
Yeah, very
combo.
Good.
You haven't upset me, but you've just aroused me. Oh. So thank you.
Oh, that Biscoff stuff is something else, man.
Oh, jeez.
Banging in there. Oh, I bet those, the blondies, the Thirsty Elephant do.
Different gravy.
No check.
Maybe, yeah. What was I going to say?
Don't know, but.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you don't know, do you? No, of course you don't. It was something to do with the crepes, but it's fucking gone now. You've just that chat about the Biscoff spread has sent my mind elsewhere.
All the blood's gone to other regions.
other regions, I half chub on, yeah. Fucking hell.
Given all the pancake talk, I suppose there'd have to be a lot of calories burnt in amongst them.
Oh, there it is, Joe. You've just reminded me.
Yeah, nice link.
Reese's post about the protein link pancakes actually having just as many calories as a regular pancake. I enjoyed that post as well, Reese. You've got some good content out at the moment.
Thanks, Brett. Thank you.
Well done, Reese. Well
is that
done.
True then, or have you just done that for the likes from the big boys?
Well, generally, like all these protein products are just the normal products with a bit of extra protein in. So yeah, generally, yeah, you can make a pancake as fucking calorific as you want it to, depending on what you put in the ingredients. But yeah, most of the time it's just a bit of whey protein, and then it's like everyone's wanking off about it, isn't it?
How much influence did you have about the posters in the then, Reese, put up with fucking KFC? Burger on the one side and like a Starbucks frap on the other side, comparing calorie content.
That was a colleague of mine.
Yeah.
And, yeah, no, he's spot on. Like, he's spot on. You know, like, there's a bit of a like belief in here that brown bread's better than white bread, for example, or brown pasta's better than white. In terms of calories, about the same.
Bread.
It'll just, you know, brown bread may keep you fuller a bit longer. That's the difference. But, you know, white bread's not evil. It tastes nice. Slop a few beans on it. Job done, like.
But only with pancakes now, innit? Beans and cheese on the pancake.
Beans and cheese on the pancake.
Beans and cheese, yeah.
Going to Greg's now. Can I have a beans and cheese pancake, please? Thank you.
That's good calories, then.
Well, I forgot that happened last week, actually. I enjoyed that. Yeah. The time seems to be flying by, I'll be honest with you.
Flying.
Nearly March already. Fucking hell, boys.
It's wild, isn't it? Target smashed as well. John Hobbs, 5,000.
Mm.
13.5K after 3 weeks. Die
brilliant
out,
effort.
It's so, yeah, good thank you, community
thank
come
you
together
to all you. Thank you to all the listeners as well who've made a donation.
All you donators.
And yeah, obviously everyone who's put the miles in. So, like you said, the clubs come together. It's not just the boys involved. You're looking at, you know, partners, kids, all racking the miles up. So it's been a hell of an effort, and we got over the line.
A proper club effort.
Great club effort.
Morale booster, that, innit?
Uh-huh.
Boosting morale.
Talking of a club effort, I thoroughly enjoyed last week. Obviously, won't go into too many details, but reminiscing of some of the pictures and videos from the Toulon tour.
Oh, my
2019.
God.
Fucking hell. All I mention is someone thoroughly enjoyed a jar of Nutella. That was my personal favourite. Fucking covered in it.
Emmons, you don't see too much, but he can get himself into an absolute pickle, can't he?
Oh,
in fairness to him, when he goes hard.
Yeah. Well, it's just fucking, it was just so weird because he just did it by himself. If I recall correctly, we were just, I think it was the third day by now. It was Sunday fun day. We're all steaming by fucking 12. And there was this massive tub of Nutella that, you know, it's like in France, they fucking love the stuff. And it wasn't like you'd pour it out or whatever. It was a full, like, squeezy pouch you push down, like hand sanitizer. And he'd filled up a pint glass full of Nutella because it was about 6 years since bar. Filled it up and was just digging it out, rubbing all over his face. Fucking had his mouth in it all, like he was fucking covered. And it was some of the best entertainment I've ever seen. So big shout out to this. But that was a snippet of what happened. That tour. But that's all I can probably reveal.
I missed that tour. We were away when we, Joe, was that when we were in?
Yeah, it was.
Malaysia. Oh, there's me fucking trying to have a laugh at you two. You weren't even fucking there.
We weren't even there. But that video of Courtney hitting the rack is
holy
gold.
Wow.
I caught that one. That was videoed by yours truly, like,
I could hear your commentary over the top. It's fucking great.
But I was just I was
set the scene for the listener. So he's gone he's gone on.
I'll give you a bit of background on it. So it's game day, which is a Saturday. We'd arrived on Thursday evening, so you know there's 48 hours of drinking pretty much happened prior to the Saturday. Anyway, we go about 40 minutes outside Toulon to this town called Pierrefeu, I think. And basically, there's like a castle, there's like a church on the top, and you know, they greet us and want to walk us around the town. Like 60 of us, we're all hanging, right? So I unfortunately was near the front. Anyway, we walk through the town, and then I look back about halfway, and we've dropped about 40 boys. We've just dropped into bars all the way along. Bear in mind, they got a game leader. I think, fuck, I can't bail now. Like, so anyway, I end up walking up the top. We come back down for a few more beers. And then before the game now, so it's like we're playing two matches, two short 15-minute matches, right, against two local French teams. They take us to the vineyard, the local vineyard. This is before the game now, right? So we get down there just, you know, to try a bit of famous wine or the Provence Rosé or whatever. Obviously, when you release some of the boys into an environment like that, there's people necking bottles of wine, there's fucking bottles everywhere, buying fucking crates. I mean, for instance, right, we were... when we went there, when the boys went under the bus to get his fucking bag, and all he saw was a pair of Crocs and feet in them, and Julian Clark had gone for a fucking nap in the bottom of the bus, and had been in the bottom since the top, like, and he'd gone all over this fucking rickety road in, like, and he was just out of it. So yeah, we had boys taking bottles of wine. Anyway, comes the game, like, they're still drinking, whatever. The warm-up was the funniest thing I fucking ever seen in my life, because none of the boys could catch a fucking ball. And both scrum halves, Nicky included, were fucking bollocksed.
Any test matches they put?
Any what?
Any of the boys, like, deadly serious, getting...
Oh, no, there wasn't. I don't think anyone was, to be fair. Anyway, so the fucking... I think it was the first match, obviously, I said to the boys, like, this is going to kick off, because... The French are fucking tasty as it is, right? All it takes, one of our boys who had a few fucking vines to tap him on your head or chops or something, full of scrap. Next minute, one of the boys taps this bloke on the head because he gave him a penalty. The French guy, doesn't think twice, launches one straight into his face. It's a fucking 40-man brawl. It's just fucking coaches involved, everything, and I'm there with a pint. Put down a pint because I was fucked. My shoulder's fucked. And yeah, it was fucking carnage. Anyway, the ref calls off the game, and anyway, managed to smooth things over. Get into the second game, and everyone fancies a run out then. And Courtney hadn't been fucking... He hadn't been... he wasn't due to play, right? Because I think he was carrying a bit of a knock. Anyway, so he's not got kit on. He's got fucking some top man prone daps on, some fucking navy cargo short longs, and he's fucking steaming, like, can't see anything, goes, I fucking want to run out, Dobbsy. Give me a run out. He's like, no, you can't go on, I'm fucking going on. So Courtney runs on with a full shirt on, cargo shorts, and some daps, like, doesn't know where the fuck he is. And basically, I managed to capture... He goes into a direct, or the guy's about to get tackled. He goes to jackal. I don't know the fuck he does. And basically,
from the wrong side,
from the side, some guy takes his the tackler. I guess or the person who got tackled took his ankles out, and he just fucking flops straight on his neck. Like,
I'll have to get out of the socials.
No ballast. Yeah, it was just fucking class. He was like, he was Bambi on ice out there, and then he slowly walked off then because he'd been embarrassed. So, yeah, you know. That was fucking entertaining to say the least. Like,
chaos. There was a fair bit of scrapping, wasn't there? It wasn't just the one incident in that game.
Oh, no, it was the one massive incident, yeah. But there was a couple of niggly bits and bobs, but it was full 99. Like, when you know, the French are like, it's like when one hits, right, it's fucking you're full in, full gas.
That's
like,
it.
So, yeah, and it was the French boys, to be fair, who started it. So, so there we are. But we managed to smooth over the ref. But yeah, that was just a fucking bonkers tour that was. Highlighted by Courtney. He just missed the ruck, it was. And the guy just took him out and he just fucking fell over the ruck completely. He probably won't thank me for explaining that one. But yeah, you know, we've got to do some certain things to entertain ourselves in lockdown, and fair play to the boys sharing some of those pictures again. It was quality.
Fantastic. I felt, to be fair, like Morgs alluded to earlier, we didn't go on the tour, but I felt like I lived here the amount Josh Ashcroft put on fucking Instagram.
Yeah, when the boys insane. Josh, like, he just literally put the whole tour on his Instagram story. He put a video, insane. Right, he collated it all, and it was 7 minutes long of stories. Like, he collated the whole thing and put it in the group, 7 fucking minutes. Like, so fair play. I don't think anyone had to worry about what goes on tour stays on tour. Just have a look at fucking Josh Ashcroft's story.
Yeah, what goes on tour tour goes on Josh Ashcroft's story. Yeah.
literally was. But yeah, fucking, so I just can't believe that'll be fucking 2 years ago now coming.
Bonkers, isn't it?
Like, what the
well,
fuck?
Give, you'll have to remind me of the name of the rugby club, Pud, because I can't pronounce it, but they made a very generous donation to the the John Hobbs Fund as well, so big thank you to...
Oh, that links nicely, doesn't it? To Letitia, isn't it? Letitia at the rugby club Pirafu, I think. She was our... Just type Pierre and then EFOU on the end, I think. And yeah, she was the one who sorted us out there and...
Sorted a few of the boys out as well.
It's a very
poor choice of words there, really, wasn't it?
A lovely relationship has been established.
I think she even came over to see the boys play as well, in fairness, the following season. So, yeah, can't fault it, really.
Now, merci beaucoup, Laetitia and Pierre Fou, or whatever they're called.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good, but did you do French in school?
No, but my mum's a French teacher, isn't she?
Of course she is.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Like that.
Learning from Sean Edwards, yeah.
Oh, he's fucking class, isn't he?
Learning from Sean Edwards.
Oh, that, man. Yeah. Talking of accents, did you see Jadon Sancho's interview?
I haven't seen it. Meant to watch it.
Oh, fucking hell. So basically, he's gone full Steve McLaren. So you remember Steve McLaren and Joey Barton?
Joey Barton interviews.
I like forgotten to speak English. Well, Jadon Sancho has gone full fucking kraut. He's gone full, I think this will be a good opportunity for us as a team.
Like, I have seen it.
fucking serious? Like, mate, he's from Manchester or something. He's gone full Deutscher. Like, fair play, can't fault him myself, but the German boys enjoy that. But yeah, happens to the best of us. Well, it didn't happen to me, I don't think. It probably
and the worst.
To me. But yeah.
Big rugger news this week. There's been a lot going on. Obviously, no Six Nations, but we'll kick off
got
with
plenty
the
to crack
goat.
Through me.
The goat has retired.
He is the. I think
DC
he is officially Bird? The goat
DC?
As well.
Is
I'd
it?
Say he's the goat.
Definitely the goat.
Tom, I was going to say, I thought you meant someone like Kevin Morgan had retired. Like he's
Mark
real
Taylor.
Goat.
Mark Taylor was
Mark
the real
never
goat.
Never passed Taylor. Like fuck me.
Stephen Train Taylor.
Watch, like.
Or Gareth Thomas. Do you see his dance on social media over the weekend?
I'd be honest, but it was a bit of a morale booster.
Boosting morale.
Yeah. I thought I enjoyed
Courtney,
it. At least someone's fucking happy at the moment.
I think Courtney enjoyed it. Courtney put it into our WhatsApp group and put, "This has ruined my weekend."
So, Courtney's obviously a miserable bastard, isn't he?
Yes, he is miserable.
First person I thought of was Courtney. When I saw the video, to be honest.
he's a big fan of old Alf, isn't he?
He would like this, yeah.
He would enjoy that.
Yeah, but back to Carter.
I thought Dan Carter, I thought he had retired. I didn't really know what he was up to. So came as a shock that he actually had to announce he was retiring.
He's
been over in Japan, haven't
he?
Have you seen his documentary on Amazon Prime, Perfect 10?
I haven't, no. But I've heard very good things. I imagine you've watched it as an outside half/fullback yourself.
Well, as a fellow Perfect 10, yes, naturally I have, but... It's a brilliant watch, boys. Absolutely class. Great insight into how hard he's worked to get to where he got to, really. And
you don't get to that level in any sport, do you, without hard work? It's the classic thing, you know. You can have the talent, but hard work beats talent. Is one for you fucking perform, but it always does. You always see it, don't you?
Yeah.
You always see it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, just probably the hours he spent kicking was probably fucking something outrageous, was it?
I was just going to say, I am a bit of a rugby nose and seem to remember things from rugby past, but I'll never, ever forget him playing 10 against the Lions in 2005.
Mental.
Just before my time, really. I was only an 11-year-old.
Of all time,
single-handedly, I think, single-handedly pulled the Lions apart almost. Obviously, you need your team, but he just looked absolutely unreal.
I've seen the highlights, obviously, and the tries
insane,
and all that.
Yeah, insane.
But do you know, we're going on to the controversy of like forward passes and the like a little bit later. But I spotted another bit of controversial play in that try. You know that try he scored in the corner? He goes down the touchline, little grubber off the right foot. Brilliant finish.
The iconic one.
But as So Oyalo draws Shane Williams and gives Carter the ball, he tackles Shane. I don't know if you boys have seen it.
Yeah,
but
I know
he
you mean.
Literally takes him out. So if I ask on to the TMO and they've looked back, it's no try. And Rodney probably ruined one of the greatest ever. You are?
They didn't have TMO back
then. TMO live back in 2005?
Yes.
No, just for,
yes,
they
did.
It was just for tries,
I'm
though.
Sure,
it was just
I'm
for
sure
tries,
it was.
Wasn't it? Yeah, but it was just for grounding. You couldn't go back to see foul play. They only brought
that
in four or five years ago, maybe. Yeah. It was literally, is the ground in there? Yay or nay?
But he, in fairness, Shane Williams probably wouldn't have gone near him anyway. He's fucking electric.
No, but New Zealand are the best at bending the rules, I would say. So it doesn't surprise me.
Oh, it's meant that. It's not even like subtle. Like blatantly fucking chop tackles him. Like, but there we go.
Still holding. You're a bit the man in your race. Like, you fucking hold a lot, don't you? Hold a lot of grudges. Like, that was 2005, but 16 years ago. Let it go.
I noticed it 3 days ago, but so I didn't actually notice it at the time. I was 12.
Oh, well, I said this ruined your life now.
But, yeah, congratulations, Dan. I'm sure you're listening. Congratulations on a magnificent career.
I always remember Dan Carter. He did it, I think, again, it was like a documentary or something about him, but it was just showing his back garden, how he used to kick as a kid. Mm. And he's got like this really long, narrow, like sort of back across the back of his house. And yet his old man put up rugby posts and he'd start like 10 metres and then he slowly, sorry, the posts were at the end of his garden and then he would just move back until he was like 15 and he was kicking from the other side of the road.
Of the road, yeah.
Over the road and over the thing into his garden. And you're just like, fuck. And he was such a narrow spot. You're like, no wonder he was, he had everything, didn't he? He had kicking, control, running. The skills, the hands, like he was the, like you say, the perfect 10.
Good looking fucker.
Yeah, longevity as well, didn't he? In terms of, like, if you look at, like, I don't know, Wilkinson probably missed 40 tests for England, potentially through injury and all sorts. Yeah, Dan Carter's been there for the majority.
I saw a hilarious comparison of Dan Carter at 35 and Andy Good at 35. And he was like, how the fuck are they on the same level? Well, they were in the same level, were they? But fucking hell. Riggsy boy.
talking of goats, mind. What about fucking Tiger Woods?
Oh,
there's something stinky in it. There's something.
I haven't seen the details, but he's fucked his legs right up, hasn't he?
Broken both legs. Yeah, they reckon he's done for 2 years at least. I think.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah.
He's had the comeback. He just wants a second one now, does he?
Well, it's the thing. I wonder if it's something. I think there's something a bit stinky about it. If I'm honest.
Well, you reckon someone broken his legs and played it up as a car crash?
No, not that. Not that. You fucking hell, your imagination runs away with you, doesn't
it? I watch a lot of shit, like.
I was just thinking more along the lines of opioids or something. He's fucking high as a kite driving that car and chucked it in the edge. He's obviously got history with it as well. But that's the cynical side of me, I suppose.
Yeah, we're not jumping to any conclusions. We'd just like to say, rookie side is like to distance themselves from that theory. And it's purely Joe's opinion.
That is my opinion,
my theory, to be honest.
Probably my favourite sportsman of all time, though.
Why? Just because he was so dominant?
No, I think the best stat... Yeah, he was dominant, but the best stat that came from Woods' impact on golf was in the PGA Tour. This is really nosy stat for you, but the PGA Tour...
That's why,
15 years ago, would make two or three millionaires in the season. Last season, the PGA Tour made 163 million his. And that is, it's the influence of money that he's had on golf. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Same as Jordan in that documentary. You can see what he did to basketball.
Yeah.
And Federer with tennis. Exactly the same
thing. Yeah. They've done exactly the same thing for golf.
I'd go Federer above any sportsman myself.
Would you really?
Yeah. It's just fucking
genius.
It's just unbelievable. It's the way he plays more than anything. He doesn't even look like he's fucking trying half the time. The fucker doesn't sweat, like, he doesn't moan, he's just ice cold. Single-handed backhand is just a thing of beauty.
He's a handsome bastard as well, mate, isn't he?
Aye, he's not bad, is he, fair play.
Who's yours, Phil Taylor, Reese, is it?
Yes. Yes, Phil Taylor.
Phil, the power. Oh, yeah, you got into the darts last week, didn't you, about Butlins?
Oh, we did, right? Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Cracking.
Also, that's what I was going to ask you, actually, Reese. Have you, you mentioned the other half, one in strawberries. Is everything okay at home now?
At the domestic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all good, but I did actually manage to survive.
Did you? I could see a few war wounds on you, but...
I thought she'd hammer you.
She did fucking hammer me, but my other
brother... Put you into the fucking turf, like, you know.
Yeah, well, I had her on my podcast last night. Not that I like to plug my stuff on you, like, but... on the Perform Pod, me and Em did an episode covering... Covered a few, like, fitness myths... For women in particular, and as you can imagine, that ended in a few fucking domestics as well. So,
I'll be tuning into that one. I think.
Aye,
that'd be an interesting one.
Good crack.
Have you got one of those posts? Let's plug another one of your businesses, Reese. You know those posters you're making.
Yeah.
What's the business?
Oh,
what's it called?
Fucking hell.
Digs. Have you got one? Couples who train together stay together as well.
Couples who train together beat the fuck out of each other. That's what it should be.
Yeah. That's dumbbells flying across the room, like. Well, moving swiftly on.
Moving swiftly on.
Yeah, in well, I saw this week in other news regarding the Pro 14. They're talking about having the fucking Jaguares from Argentina in there now. Now, for me, I'm just like, why? I thought it was all to be about time zone thing. So, you know, it makes sense for Africa because there's no jet lag. Admittedly, Argentina are a bit fucked, like, with the Major League Rugby and all that is the only competition they've got in their sort of time zone and such. But, fucking hell, it's going to be like a Pro 75 if we carry on, like. Yeah, I'm doing lines on my hands.
Time zone.
So basically, touchdown. Two lines. Well, if you look at the map, it's fucking lines like that. Lines.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I think there's whispers they'd be based in Europe, innit? Is it Spain, Bilbao, or something?
Well, just call them the Bilbao fucking Bears or something.
The Bilbao Tigers, like.
The Bilbao Bears, yeah. Yeah. Well, so they based, that's the plan, is it? Based out of Bilbao?
Yeah, it's just sort of rumours, isn't
it? But then they're an Argentinian team. Like, well, why don't they just make a team in Bilbao and just fucking... Well, they're just going to relocate from Argentina to Bilbao and then... See, now that would make sense. Because they had... Didn't the Blues win the Champions... The Challenge Cup or something in Bilbao?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
A few years ago. Did some of the boys go on that trip? Said it was all right. It was a decent...
good venue, innit?
Trip, wasn't it? Good venue, apparently. So... I'm all for that, like, but you can't be going to Argentina and back, like, on the weekend. It's mental.
No, that's why the South African thing. I get the time zone thing with South Africa, but it's still, you're travelling, like, a long,
Nine, ten hours.
Yes, 10-hour flights. You're travelling half a day before you've even...
They'd have to do it earlier, wouldn't they?
It's the same with Super Rugby, though, isn't it? Like, I suppose, like, the New Zealand Aussie sides are going the same sort of distance to South Africa. So they that's why they do...
Probably.
Fucking mother's ringing me now. Sorry, mum, you're having a decline. But they normally do a tour, don't they? So they'll play a few teams while they're over there. But obviously, if you've got one team from Argentina, it's not going to fucking work like that. So
yeah, you can't do, no. They're going to have to tour over here, so you may as well base them out of Bilbao.
Bilbao.
But I mean, if it brings more money in, and fucking hell, it can't get much worse. The Pro 14 to watch.
The thing is, the trouble, like, you can't even get half a stadium in Connaught on a rainy Friday night. Like, how?
Yeah, but it's windy as fucking Connaught. Like, who would want to go out to that?
But that's the point. Yeah, that's the thing.
Even Bilbao, fucking sign me up, drive. It'd be lovely and warm over
just
there.
Just play all games in Bilbao.
Yeah,
everyone,
every single game.
You'll have a full fucking stadium, like.
I put myself through watching Scarlets and Benetton on Saturday.
Oh, fuck!
You brave man.
It was a struggle, boys. I tell you,
bad enough for the internationals there, but without the internationals,
But at least Scarlets put a 40-point show on. I then put myself through the Osprey Zebra game.
Oh god! That was
Oh my word!
Why? Is that because you've paid 15 quid a month for Premier Sports and you have to justify to your wife? Why is that? I've got to watch it.
Yes. It doesn't even know.
Doesn't even know.
It's on S4C, love.
It's on the secret squirrel account, though. Then.
The Premier 4K is, I expect. No good, Joe, was it? No good.
Oh, it was dreadful, but it was absolutely shocking. And that's the bit I don't really get about the South African provinces coming up and the Jaguares joining that absolute shower.
Yeah.
Why would they want to, like?
Oh, fucking hell, honestly.
Well, the question is the question.
I don't think they would dick them. I just think I don't see how commercially it's a better option than, or well, even really attraction of going to Sydney, Melbourne, Auckland.
It's obvious what they're lining up to do, the South African teams. You know, they want to be in the Six Nations. And I think they're doing this to sort of align themselves with European rugby, get into the Champions Cup, well, if they're allowed, etc. And then I think they'll replace Italy. I hate to say it to the Italians, but if they don't carry, I just think they'll replace them. Or
that's the
seventh, and then they'll fully put as a glass ceiling, and
the Six Nations is one of the best. To be fair, even when I was in Oz for a period, I mean, people, the pubs were packed at 3, 4, 5, 6 in the morning watching the
Six Nations.
So it is a massive attraction to people.
Mm. And that's it would be good. I got no problem with it myself. Like, you know, you've still got the Triple Crown, you've still got, and instead of us watching England, Italy, it was like entertaining for a bit. Italy scored a nice try, but it's just a fucking walkover match. You know, France, I can't be bothered to watch it when Italy are playing because you know there's a 40-pointer. Like, especially when they're the only game on the day, on a Sunday, like, oh, Christ. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'd much rather watch South Africa, England, or South Africa, fucking France. It'd be unbelievable.
The trouble is, where does it leave the likes of Italy? You're pretty much saying, well, the rich
Well, you either make it a seven nations and bring in relegation, or you just bin off Italy completely, I think, and just say, unlucky.
Unlucky, go and play against Belgium.
Well, yeah, go play against Belgium, Germany. Well, it is tricky, I know, but it's whether that's what I think they're angling at anyway. But talking of subscriptions about Premier Sports,
you stole my line, you fucker.
Unlucky, as soon as you lose. No, some good news this week. Obviously, I think Paul Williams on Twitter has been fucking crying about, mainly that's all I've seen on my timeline, is him crying about not being able to watch the Super Rugby AU and NZ. Or Aotearoa. They've split it still up there.
Yeah, it's still split up.
Yeah, so, but Rugby Pass have produced the goods. They've struck up a deal, haven't they, Reese? They've done like, was it like £7 a weekend to watch the matches or £40 for the season or something?
For the season, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I'll invest myself. I may have a look at like the final, semi-final, whatever, but is it a final or is it literally just round robin?
I don't know, to be honest with you, but, well, it's got to be better than paying £15 a month for the Pro 14, that's all I'll say.
Yeah, I was gutted. When I learned the one on Sky, I was gutted because, like, it is something worth getting up for on a Saturday morning and, you know, bang out on, and it's, you're guaranteed entertaining rugby.
Especially at the moment I was just going to say, especially with, like, lockdown at the moment, it's struggling enough to get up for fucking work, like, later on a weekend. Yeah. Like, there's nothing to get up for. As if you've got that, it gives you a bit of structure and you can start early morning, look forward to it, have your breakfast, and then you're off, aren't you?
I pay enough for my Sky bill, so I had a little conversation with him in the week. Yeah, I just to highlight my dismay of losing not just Super Rugby. There's some other rugby that Sky has lost, and they, in a nutshell, told me to go and fuck my own face.
Yeah. Oh. Well, are you surprised? It's all about fucking soccer now, isn't it?
Unlucky. Yeah. Unlucky.
Although I'm enjoying the soccer at the moment. There's a fucking different game on every day. We're missing the old Champions League tonight, to me, but you know. Priorities. That's what Liverpool aren't playing. Otherwise, I say that's definitely what Courtney's doing.
Well, Nicky's excuse this week. He's painting his bathroom.
Fuck me, this bathroom. What's the size of this bathroom like?
That's, it's like fucking some time, 10,
10, 12, 12 foot. Like,
where's he living? Fucking Buckingham Palace. Like,
yeah, he's doing fucking the Queen's bathroom. Well, no, I think he was tiling before. Now he's painting, isn't he? He said, because there was duty four of us. He said, "I'll paint my bathroom instead." You know, it's fair enough. But then. Very silent after Courtney dropped out.
He does choose some odd times to paint the old bathroom, to be fair to him, but he is a strange man.
My grandfather's a painter and decorator, and he never worked in the dark, let's put it that way. Like, so you always need daylight to see paint properly, so exactly. I don't know what he's up to. You need to do it in the daylight. It's not the same, but it's not the same.
You're banging out some words of wisdom tonight, buddy.
Fucking hell, I'm on my
track. Some tradies listening.
any tradies or, you know, people need some... what's the word? Motivational speeches. Sign me up. Got them all in the locker. Talking of Super Rugby, this actually brings on to... we'll talk about the red cards in the Gallagher Premiership over the weekend, but they're producing the orange card. Are they... Reese, I haven't seen this.
Stole our idea from last week, Reese.
They must have. They listened to the pod, didn't they?
Player on the port.
Bastards.
That's it, yeah.
Apparently it was the first ever orange card on the weekend in Australia. Is it a mandatory 20 minutes, Joe?
Yeah, I think
20
so.
Minutes without them, and then you can come back.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like a double sin bin.
Yeah, I suppose so. It's one up from a yellow, isn't it? So
I think, can they accelerate it or review it while he's in the bin?
I'd love to say I know the answer to that, but I don't.
No.
Extended sin bin. Yeah, well, I think we were talking about it, through the boys, and it's like, well, why don't they just go, yeah, you gotta, that guy's gotta be off the pitch, he's off for 10 minutes, and then he can't come back on the field, it's gotta be a substitution.
Yeah.
You know, for those in-betweeners where, you know, he's gone for the game, he's not coming back, he's been ejected as such, but you're only down to, okay, 14 men for, say, okay, 15, 20 minutes, and then you can bring on a sub rather than bringing the individual back on. I don't know if you saw any of the red cards on the weekend. There was fucking loads of them. Courtney's tip was bang on for the Six Nations. Yeah. About having,
I was going to say, he's looking good for that, isn't
he? Yeah, four or more, wasn't it? Yeah, four or more red cards. And, you know, we're up to two, and there's only been two weekends. But, yeah, some of them, I mean, Yeah, and in fairness, the ones I saw, the Bath game, the one where he's leading. So there's a couple of shoulder charges. So the Bath guy got red card later on that game. He's tucked his arm in, and fair play, he's fucking walloped to the Gloucester fullback. He sent him into next week. But it's a red card, right? Shoulder to the head. No excuses. The first one in that game for the Gloucester prop, who's been banned subsequently, is he's carrying the ball in his right hand and he just leads with the forearm. He goes into contact, so he's about to go down. He carries a guy and he hits him, the guy in the neck, chin area, and rises up. That was a red card, and that was a bit, you know, debate. But why are people carrying that high, is my point. Like, I know people should be tackling.
I'm tackling that high.
But carry lower. You'll get more momentum. You're not going to score a fucking try on there. You want to get gain line. Surely you just dip your height, get tucked in, and like, cannonball Ken. You never see Ken fucking do Ken the Sheriff, do you? Fucking leading with a forearm against smashed high. He's fucking low to the knees, and he's getting gain line. But that was another one. And then I think it was the... what was the other game? So Leicester against...
Gloucester was
a Leicester game. I can't remember who they were playing. But basically, the number 8, who played fucking class, Strauss or something like that. So after big... Like, he's short, stocky, but he was just making yards all game. And then Leicester score, right? They look back. It was Leicester Wasps, I think it was. And they look back at it. And the guy... So they've made a break, to a stop on the try line. And he's like flown in 10 metres out. And has literally just dived head first into the guy that's, you know, pulled out the jackal, and he's hit him on the chin. And it's like the guy's half stood up and he still hit him in the face with his shoulder. Again, do they even watch rugby or get told what the red card rules are? Like, it's a fucking blatant red. Off you go, son. Like, there's no excuse for some of them. I don't think I saw some of the others, but I think it's pretty obvious. I think players are just fucking struggling to get, just to stop being twats with it, really.
Yeah, when there was the tip tackle was like clear cut, wasn't it?
That was the yellow card. Yeah, well, talking of tip tackles, that was the one. Sam Bedloe for Bristol then against London Irish. Tip tackle, the guy lands on his upper shoulder, right? So letter of the law, it's only yellow card. He's been banned afterwards and he said it should have been a red card for his tip tackle. But he's got away with it. So that's three sort of different incidents leading to the forearm. Classic clearing a ruck with your fucking shoulder. Shoulder charging the tackle and then the tip tackle. It's like, I just don't understand, like, just fucking chop in the tackle and carry lower.
I think your players adjusted pretty quickly to the tip tackle, didn't they? And I think they're thinking, this is going to take a bit more time now, I suppose.
Yeah, because they've been literally flying into rucks. You see it, don't you, sometimes, where players are already off their feet and they're just fucking flying into them. And you're like, well, there's no need. I understand the physicality of it, but you've won the fucking ball.
Are either of you still none the wiser as to what the fuck mitigation means? They keep throwing that around in terms of get what's deemed as mitigation in contact and what isn't.
It's whether they fucking dipped before, the player's been pushed. Like, is it because, was he aiming to do that, basically, wasn't it? If he was aiming to do it, it's a red card. If he's meant to do something else and isn't that more of an accident, then it becomes, it drops down to a yellow, doesn't it?
But then it makes it opinion, doesn't it? And it makes it...
It's just a grey area, isn't it?
That's the thing, it's not.
I think it's though. I mean, like Ferguson now, Xander Ferguson, he's appealing again, isn't he? Because for his 4-week ban. I mean, like, he's tucked your arm in and you've hit him on the head. I just like, what do you want to do? Like, what are they going to see us any different? I mean, shoulder to the head, red card. Fucking, do they not learn? The war was won. The only contentious thing with that one is Wyn Jones looks like he's going for the ball, doesn't he?
Like you said, that's mitigation, Nick, because he's...
Yeah.
And he's been pulled away last second. That's why he's hit him in the head. So I can see where he's coming from, but...
Well, you'd have hit him in the head fucking more full on if he hadn't been pulled away.
True.
I listened to Nigel Owens made some interesting points on this Ferguson case, where he said that first of all, he's made himself stand out like a sore thumb by belting in from 10 metres.
Yeah.
He's then got his height wrong, though he was fairly low at a decent level. He got his height wrong, made contact with the head. But not just that, he goes absolutely off his feet as well. So he's given, in a nutshell, it's a penalty there. So he was saying, no control whatsoever. So they got onto the croc roll then, and they were talking to Nigel's again, giving his opinion on the croc roll. And we're saying, actually, by the letter of the law, croc roll is a penalty anyway, because you're collapsing into the muck. you're collapsing a ruck, which is a penalty.
So when you clear out, it's got to be, you hit the man, hold on to the guy on the floor, so you just fucking hit slightly lower and stay onto the man. These players that are fucking flying in way off their feet, and you see them moan, right, when players pull out of the jackal and they fly out off their feet, and the ref's like, oh, he's pulled away. And you're like, well, I'm not being funny. If the fucker was there, he's going off his feet anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? And it's fucking hell.
I think there's no intention
to stay on their feet, is there?
If you look hard enough, literally every breakdown, you could probably pin someone. Whether it's the jackler putting his hands on the floor, if it's the guy rucking out, going off his feet, whatever. There's always got to be that room for interpretation with refs, otherwise we're not going to have a fucking game. But, yeah, players have got to adapt quickly, otherwise it's just going to be fucking red card every week. Like.
But I think on the flip side of that, from a player's perspective, if you don't absolutely fly into a ruck when someone's in the jackal and clear him out, you know in the video session, because I've had it, been on the end of it, you have an hammering. Well, the fuck, you've gone into that so fucking soft, you haven't hit him out hard enough, you've got to fly into him, you've got to get rid of him. They get a penalty, that puts us under pressure, they score a try from the subsequent fucking line out or whatever. And then
you're in the bin juice next week,
you're in the bin juice, you're gone. So
you're older than Pads with Mogs next week.
Get on the pads with Mogs.
Yeah, show you the room. Mogs.
Thanks, Pad. But yeah, that's the tricky part for players is, you know, especially international level or whatever, you know, they're playing, they've got to win and they know that anyone, they could lose their spot at any point. So it comes down to little things like that. So yeah, fly in, but don't tuck your arm in. Just wrap, like, you can wrap and fly in. Fly in fast, but don't dive off your feet. Fly in with your arms. I know it's easier said than done. But, you know, it's got to be, the problem is the jackal law for me. I just think it's like, they've obviously brought it back in with the new rules or whatever. Because jackal got pretty much eliminated a couple of years ago, didn't it? It was so much harder to get a penalty.
Non-contest.
And they've changed rules again. You can now get a fucking jack. You know, it's much easier to get the ball back. To be honest with you, I think they go back to the previous rules where jackaling was a lot more difficult.
On that point, Reese, of like you said, you could probably pick up every ruck there's an incident or a related incident. What do you boys think of this rule they're trialling in NZ with the captain's referral?
Captain's referral. I think it's a great shout.
That's encouraging. That's an incident that's happened, though, is it? So I guess the point being is, without reviewing it on the TV screen, how's the captain going to know that he wants to take a look at it? Or is it based on the player's reaction?
Well, I think the player's reaction,
Yeah, well, the NRL have got it, haven't they? They've got a captain's referral. So, say there's a knock-on or it's been lost in the tackle or they think it's been stripped. They can pull it up and say, yeah, I don't think that was stripped. My player says it wasn't stripped. It's like, can you take a look at it? Yeah, I don't think that's a try. He may have given it, but they check everything on tries on the TMO. But what they can do is they can go back is it up to two plays or the before? So, like, say now, like Reese, we'll get on to it probably after half time. But you think Willis Halaholo's pass was forward to Zamet?
Miles,
I know
forward.
That's in the act of scoring, right? But you know that if the TMO hasn't picked that up, they could refer it and go, can you look at that as a forward pass?
Yeah, sure.
Do you see what I mean? So I think and it works well from the NRL I watched last year. It works well. They got an opportunity to say, nah, there was a knock on there, we won the ball back, etc. Especially at the last minute or something like that. But it'll be interesting to see if they can just copy it across and make it work right and there's no fucking.
Well, I'm just looking at Super Rugby Aotearoa's post about it now. So apparently it's got to be clear and obvious. You've got 10 seconds to make the call after a try or a whistle decision. The TMO can go back to the last stoppage.
So you can go all the way back to the last fucking line out. Yeah. So if you know, before, because isn't it when you score a try at the moment, they can't go back more than one play?
Apparently
or one ruck,
one
ruck or something like that. But if it's the last whistle, you go back to a fucking line out 10 plays ago, couldn't you? If the captain remembers, do you know what I mean?
And then, so if the referral's right, it's a bit like Hawkeye in tennis, I suppose. So if it's right, they keep the referral. If it's wrong, they've lost it for the rest of the game, man. So.
And it's only one.
Yeah, I do like
that. You have one. And you keep it if it's right.
Well, that should stop the players moaning about TMOs. Oh, they didn't look at that. They missed that. You know, if it's a key thing, they can actually say, no, that was a knock-on. Or, fucking hell, you could even be gouging. Or, you know, because you won't see that shit in the ruck, will you? Do you know what I mean? Or they won't look for it. But, at least now there's a bit more power to look back at it. So, you know, as long as it works well, I think that'll probably stay in the game. But when there are a couple of other rule changes as well, Reece?
Goal line dropout. Yeah, again, NRL related. So it's apparently goal line dropout. So if you, like, knock it on over the try line, it's a goal line dropout. If you're held up, it's a goal line dropout. Which I think, is a better shout. It's a quicker way of restarting the game.
I was going to say, it takes away from the scrum fight, the 5 metre scrum.
Yeah.
Fuck off, if I can live off five metre scrums, like, fucking hell.
Not on your own
Not on my own line, on the other person's line, fucking nothing better. But But yeah, no, it makes sense. Like, and you may as well trial it, innit? May as well trial it. But they trialed the 6-point try over there and it never came to anything, did it?
So
we'll see what comes out there. But
in other news, boys, I've got to go for a piss, sorry.
Oh, yeah, true. We're about time, actually, to be fair. So,
see me fidgeting.
You're squirming out of me.
I know, I should have kept talking and keep asking questions. Right, see you in a bit.
In a bit.
Fuck. Did you jump out on me, Anne?
I did, yeah.
Bastard.
And saw the reaction.
Absolute bastard.
She had to.
Done me, like.
Anyway,
welcome back this weekend. To half number two.
Second half. Ailhanner.
I was going to say, what is it in Welsh? Second half.
You're watching too much Max Boyce you've been listening to.
Come on then. I say fucking hell, guys.
Welcome to the second half.
Welcome to the second half. No, sorry. To be fair, I've been watching a lot of the news and down that way has been flooded like fuck, haven't I? So there's been loads of Carmarthen lights on there moaning about the river, which is understandable.
Hell yeah.
Tell you, lockdown fucking falls getting me, yeah, like my head's going.
Who's playing on the weekend?
Oh, fucking better get this right for fucking bitch.
Island Italy.
No, Island Italy, fucking
great start.
Oh, you'll be fucked.
Island Italy.
First in Rome or in Dublin?
I think it's gonna be quite tight myself.
Oh,
in Rome or Dublin?
It's in Rome.
Ah. When in Rome?
Sexton's back, isn't he?
Aye.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Ireland win, but I think it'll be quite tight. I'm going to by 8, I'm going to go.
Ah, you're off your fucking trolley, mate.
Ireland by 8. I'm going to go...
Ireland by 8? Are you for real?
I'm going to go Ireland by 5.
Jesus. Fuck. You have no fucking faith in us. Well, it's Ireland, obviously. And they're going to win by 23.
You just hate it.
Fucking hell. Ireland, what have you seen from Ireland that has been half tidy?
They fucking, well, admittedly, yeah, they were solid against us with 14 men, right? And probably should have beaten us if Billy hadn't missed fucking touch. They were pretty solid against France. Yes, okay, in the attack side of things, they're a bit fucking blunt. But they keep the ball so fucking well, like. They're rucking unbelievable.
They do
and against
ball,
Italy,
they do the
if they
well.
Keep the ball and Italy have got to defend for more than fucking half the game, Italy will blow a gasket and they'll run away with it, I don't know.
Yeah, but so, the one on the flip side, those teams have scored tries against the Irish. And one thing Italy can do at the moment is chuck a ball around a bit.
I think Italy will go ahead early on, like they did against England. I think they'll be there or thereabouts, and it'll be the classic, they'll drop off after 60 minutes. And Ireland will pull away, score 3 tries or something in the last 20, and they'll win by 23. You mark my words.
23.
I think that's Ireland tight. Be... comfortable-ish going into the last sort of 5 minutes. Probably 2-3 scores in here. Italy will score late. And that's why I think it'll be quite a tight margin at the end. That's my prediction.
Well, I was just going to say, Andy Farrell's been under the pump. And he's lost to Wales. He's lost to France. He hasn't got the greatest record since he's taken over.
No.
So I think they'll go... Well, they're going to go full noise and it'll be a performance from him on Saturday.
If it's not, he will be under serious pressure because there's a bit of turmoil about his selections. You know, the likes of Cooney being left out.
See, he's offload on the weekend as well.
He's man of the match again, wasn't he?
Someone else, Cooney, isn't he?
Unreal.
Mental.
He's playing fucking Gibson Park, like.
Mental.
Sharp, he but he's not international standard, is he?
No.
He must have had a go on Owen's mum.
I don't know why, but every time somebody's not selected, they've definitely been on someone's mother. Like, oh, that must be the logical explanation. He shagged his mother. that's it. Like, makes perfect sense. Talking of shagging someone's mother, what do you reckon Sam Simmons has done to Eddie Jones? Exactly the same fucking thing. And his brother, fucking hell.
He's done something, haven't he?
Dirty boy. He just doesn't. Brilliant fact today. He's never liked the Exeter Chief boys, is he? He's never picked them. If you remember, Don Armand never got a shout. Who's the other big fucker down there, the number 8? Dave Ewers. He had half a snap, but he was quality for Exeter.
Yeah, he was.
You know what I mean? They just don't seem to get... Obviously, Henry Slade is class across, and Jack Noel got in. But in terms of forwards or back row, he's just never bothered, is he, with Exeter boys? So
good start on Sam Simmons. He scored more tries this season than the other guys played professional games.
Than who? Billy?
Than the guy who's gone into the England squad.
Oh, yeah, in his whole career.
That's right.
Well, Well, they talked that he was the next cab off the rank because they had him in the fucking shadow squad. I fucking hate some of the terminology in the
shadow squad.
Yeah, it's just so
turns my stomach every time I say it. The shadow squad. Like, it's the fucking bin juice, isn't it?
The finishers. Fuck off, Eddie.
I know. But anyway, they've parachuted other players in from, you know, they put Sinclair straight into the starting team. Even though he was in the shadow, you know what I mean? So there's not exactly your precedent being set or whatever. I just think there's something going on there, and it's probably Eddie Jones being a stubborn fucking Aussie. So.
Yeah.
But I'm not complaining because they're going to be worse off for it.
We'll do them. Do.
Think?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure I like the bringing John Davis back in, though.
Well, yeah. The rumours are, and we talked about this prior, but the rumours for the Welsh team are same front five as last week, which is last game, you know, ideal. And just Navidi in at six instead of Wainwright. Fair enough. Tipperick Faldo. Pack pits itself, pretty much, doesn't it? But then the rumours coming out today are Hardy's starting nine, Bigger 10, Jonathan Davis 12, George North 13, Zamit Adams on the wing, and Liam Williams fullback. Now, I did see there was another rumour that it was actually Johnny Williams starting 12. So I think the only shirt up for grabs was the 12, really. Considering Halfpenny's not going to make it because he failed his HIA.
I'd like to have seen someone else in the 10 jersey, but obviously he's going to stick with Bigger.
I just think you can't have Sheedy and Liam Williams. You haven't got to, look, I know Sheedy kicked well for Bristol on the weekend, but it's another level of pressure at international. Yeah, and he missed two sitters against Scotland, which made it a lot more difficult. So I think if Halfpenny was fit, I wouldn't have put Adam straight back in. I'd have put Liam on the wing, Halfpenny fullback, and you start Sheedy then, I think.
Well, you should be starting Jared Evans, as we keep fucking banging on about, but that's not going to happen. I'd love to see him on the bench, but that's probably not going to happen either. So
you can't do now after Sheedy's performance. I think Sheedy's definitely solidified himself number two there now. So unless Dan Bigger gets... Yeah, I think so. I think he made such a difference when he came on. Him and Hardy together. There was a bit of play against Scotland, right? Come on, within the first 2 minutes, Wales had pulled out the back from the forwards, either to him or Halaholo, more times than they had in the previous 50 minutes, and with Bigger at 10. And it's a 10 orchestrates, so you two would know that. So he's come on and gone, play it. He's calling
this
the
is
calls,
it,
he's
right?
shouting from behind. So
he's come on and done nothing to set the world alight, but already he's made a massive impact compared to the way Bigger plays. Like, literally all he did was just fucking, like you said, out the back, ship it on. All of a sudden, he's fucking looking up, dangerous. And
that's what set up Halaholo's. Zamit's try. Under try. It was one pull back to Sheedy. He hit Adam Beard, who I thought actually had a decent game for the Cardinals that he is.
He's picked quite well so far.
He pulled out the back to Halaholo. Halaholo comes round.
Chucks a forward pass.
Oh, full of shit. Obviously a bit of magic, but it's not that... Like, they made it look easy, but I just don't think you can put Jared in front of Sheedy now.
You only have to go back 4 months, though, to see... When we were in the Autumn Nations Cup or whatever they wanted to call it, we were unbelievably lateral. Like every other play was a block out the back and run across the field and try and expose some. Is that a progression into this comp? Do you reckon? Have they worked on that? Is that a plan?
I just think it's bigger. To be honest, he's never been the best. Again, the backs go in. It was the same. That's why Priestland started ahead of him for all those years because Priestland got the backs going. You know, Bigger's got his place for closing out games, for tight games. And look, England game, it's going to be a kicking battle. They're going to go back to type and fucking kick the leather off it because they know we're dangerous in the backs. And I think he's got Bigger in there without Halfpenny a fullback. I think he's put Bigger in for a bit more of a kicking tactical and for experience as well. I mean,
that's all it's for.
Yeah.
And if it's tight, he's the man.
He'll stay on.
Kick the ball up in the air.
Yeah. I know it's fucking. You've got to have a balance, like I think. And eventually, I think Sheedy will start, and it looked like the back line that finished against Scotland was the way Pivac wants to pick. But you know, it's like it's political. You've got to choose certain players, experience, etc. But it looked like that's the way we want to play going forward. So we'll see if Bigger. We saw pressures on Bigger now to perform, innit?
I don't know how many times you've got to say you though. We go back to Jared. Like, if you got you on about the way Pivac wants to play, he's got to be the man. I just don't get why he's not in the fucking mix. Like, I cannot work it out.
Well, you can't pick him in front of Sheedy now, after Sheedy came on the bench, basically, you know, helped win us the game. And he's going to pick bigger. So, unless one of them gets injured, Jared's got to wait. I think Jared will just have to wait for an opportunity. For an
Don't get how Sheedy was above him in the pecking order in the first place.
Yeah,
like,
no, I don't. There was a big shift.
I agree with you there. Yeah, but it is what it is now, isn't it? But
there was a massive shift in momentum in that game when they had the red card, and it wasn't far after that that the boys, that either Hardy came on and Sheedy at the same time.
Yeah, they came on just after Scotland fucked up on our line.
Yeah,
and came on straight away after they fucked up and we got the penalty. It was before the red card.
Yeah, it was just before.
But he said, "Right, that's it. I've got to change it." And fit really. It's the best decision he's made since he's been in charge. Putting them on to change the game. And yeah, we got the red card, and yeah, we might have been lucky, and Scotland nearly fucking come away with it at the end if it weren't for Watkins' ankle tap. But I'd be happy with our team, to be honest. It's progress, it is progress. I would have picked, personally, I think I'd have just chucked Halaholo straight in at 12.
I probably would have.
What about the shit over the bridge? How are they going to look then?
Well, they played well against Italy, didn't they? I say he played well. He's just tough against Italy, isn't it? But Farrell's not on form, is he? I think if we get into him, he's gonna
at 12. Well, it'll be Ford 10 and 12.
Yeah,
Ford Farrell.
Well, you'll just ram North down Ford's throat on your all game.
To be honest, but if I was coaching that Welsh team on Saturday and I decided Bigger was starting, I'd be peppering Daly all fucking day.
Yeah,
he's a classy player, Daly, but
he's got a twitchy bum.
Bit of vein of form, yeah. He's in a bit of poor bit of form. Yeah, poor bit of form. Yeah, he's full like a poor bit of form. And I think you stick it on him enough, he'll make mistakes, especially with, like you say, you've got some wild gas. We got some wild gas out in the outside backs.
Yeah. I think it'd be interesting. There's some fast cats out there now with Johnny May, Watson, Zami. Okay. There's some serious speed out there.
Watson is some athlete, man. Fucking hell, he's
unreal. He's
quality player.
Fullback. Can you imagine him running from fullback? Oh.
That's the trouble, though, is if they get a kick in wrong, they've got two world-class wingers.
Equally, Johnny May can end up running up his own arse, because I just don't think... he looks like... When he runs, it's like he doesn't know where his legs are taking him. Like, it's just like, fuck, we're going on an adventure.
That's why
he must be so hard to tackle, yeah.
Yeah. But I think it'd be interesting if they pick in the back row. Obviously, they go Billy V at 8 and Tom Curry at 7. And if Curry's on form, he's the danger man in that back row. I think they're missing Underhill in there at 6. I think that's the best combo of Underhill, Curry. And, well, Billy hasn't played well for a while, to be fair. But I think we can get into him. I think we can do him. So I think with our back line, if our pack performs like they have done, especially set piece, I know we won every line out after that first one up in Scotland, and it makes such a fucking difference. Yeah. I think we'll do them by 5.
I've gone Wales by 4.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Wales by 8.
England will fucking pour over us on it now, won't they? As we predicted that. But I said Wales last week before the Scotland game, didn't I? And you all went Scotland. I can shove it up you.
What about the last game of the weekend then? France and the Sweaties.
Oh, fuck, we haven't even talked about this, have we? But yeah, it's on, apparently.
It is on. As of today, it's on.
DuPont and the 10 players have added, haven't they? And DuPont so and Olivon are out of the game.
5 main starters. So they've lost DuPont, Olivon, Bryce Doolan, who's been class for France,
awesome.
And a massive rock at 15. Cyril Bailly.
Loose head, okay.
He's had his head shoved, mind, haven't he?
Yes, he's not the best scrummager.
Typhoon Fanua.
Yeah, he was on the bench.
Second row, and
come off the bench. They're the big names that they've lost.
Is Marchand available? The hooker, because if he is, then he's fucking classy. He's in fairness. He's been unbelievable. But like you see, oh my god, we've lost the best player, arguably the best player in the world at the moment, in DuPont. They can bring fucking Saran off the bench.
Saran,
he's so fucking good. Like the best they got. Look, I still think they'll do Scotland in Paris.
I think the other way. I think Scotland will get a win on them. I think there's too much disruption in there. They've lost Galtier as well. They've lost other members of the coaching staff.
Aye, but Sean Edwards is here, but I tell you, he'll fucking fire a rocket. You'll get him going. Tackle fucking bags.
Mercy.
Get off
Mercy.
Line.
Mercy Boku. Tackle.
It depends. Look, we haven't seen the teams and we won't see these till Friday, but I still think the French will fucking do him. Because we were talking about, Dries, just before we came here, about who they could replace the Olive on. And it was that flanker from the autumn who played against England? And he's like 6'5" or whatever, and he's fast as fuck.
Yeah.
And they just bring him in. Just cause carnage. Yeah. All fucking knees and elbows. I can't remember his name now, but fucking hell.
They got some brilliant players. So I think, yeah, depth is not a worry. It's just, like Joe said, it's the disruption that's going to be win or lose.
But it's lucky it came in obviously a week where they've had a weekend off as well. It's a week break.
Yeah.
They've obviously, the people who've had tested positive, they've been out to the squad, so there's people who've been up and replaced all week in training. So it'd be interesting to see, but we saw from France, didn't we, against in the All Nations Cup when they had to put a second team out against England, they should have,
So you're going France to win, aren't you?
Yeah, and the Scottish haven't got it in them. They just haven't got that winning mentality. They couldn't put us over the line, and they'll never have it.
So I'm going Scotland France.
By...
Go on.
I'm going France. Ah, this is a tricky one. I'll go France by 6. You know.
I'm going Scotland by 4.
Scotland by 3.
There we go. Never trust the Scots.
May change.
Depend
on the team.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens with selections.
Well, I remember telling you, didn't I? It was in a couple of weeks ago. One time I was supporting Scotland against Ireland when I think we needed them to beat Ireland after we dicked Italy on points or whatever. And supporting Scotland was the most disgusting thing I've ever done. It was just so disappointing.
So bad.
So I vowed from them to never support them unless it was against England.
Ah, yeah, fair enough.
They've got what's his name back though, isn't he? The 12 Redpath's back, yeah. I think they're back to full noise, isn't they, almost?
Are they?
They're a good side. So. They're a good
side. They are a tidy side. And they'll be on a bit of a pace after this fucking French disruption. So, yeah, back Scotland.
Well, all the pressure's on Scotland, see, and they don't like pressure. I feel like us, really, we better when we're underdogs. Again, we're underdogs this weekend, which is why I think we'll win. When we're favourites, we fucking, we beat Georgia by 4 points, do you know what I mean? We just don't react well to it.
England are going to come good at some point, and I hope it's not this weekend. Just put it that way.
Trust them, it fucking will be one. But it'll be a cracking game, I think. Anyway, either way, but I just fancy it's this Welsh support, don't I?
We'll see. Anyway, before we get on to see you next Tuesday of the week, we'll head over to Instagram for our questions. Well, we've done questions, shout outs, and some nominations for see you next Tuesday of the week.
Oh, we got one, but it's more funny, innit? We'll add that to the see you next Tuesday of the week. But there's only one in my book.
There's a question from Jake Jarman. Jarman.
Is that a music man?
No, it's not.
No.
Great knowledge here, bud. But he's asked, have you ever heard of a Scouse rugby player?
Fucking hell.
What's rugby? Never heard of him, mate.
They probably play fucking league.
League, mate.
They probably play league, don't they, in that neck of the woods. There's only Sale up there, in terms of union, so...
Yeah,
there's bound to be one Scouser.
I
reckon Steve Gerrard do a job.
Stevie, well, you know, fucking boys play well.
Just let me feet do the talking.
Fucking hell, Carragher.
I think the first ever School of Hard Knocks I watched was Liverpool.
It was up there,
and literally some of them didn't even know what rugby was like. Fucking brilliant.
It's fucking football till they die up there. Never mind. That's a good question.
Jake, no.
If there's any Scousers who play rugby, just let us know.
Holler.
Well, none of them are famous anyway.
Yeah, well, we've got a question from Raw 1989. Rhys Williams Way, big friend of the pod, Psycho, Gay UK.
Psycho is my favourite.
He is a bit of a psycho.
Why won't the boys call me Psycho, Bert?
Because you're not a psycho, mate. But Gay's asked, who would you guys pick as your starting Welsh team this weekend? I think we've pretty much... Jared for 10.
It would have been, I would have gone Halaholo 12. But otherwise, based on the team that's being put out, that's the only change I would have made, in fairness.
Any changes, Joe?
Only due to Fox being undercooked.
I probably would, it's brave to go with John Davis, but probably would have backed Halaholo or Johnny Williams at 12, I think, but otherwise.
Or Rodri Gorma Davis. Get him in.
Gorma Davis. Yeah.
What a player.
That's fantastic. The Westy accent. Rodri Gorma Davis.
That's all the questions we'll do for this week.
Oh, did you do the one? I was going to say, did you do the one from last week from a friend over in Germany?
We did. Stevie. You obviously haven't listened then, have you?
Well, Well, yeah, I listen to parts of it. Like Hannah listens to it, and I just pick up bits and bobs on it.
We did have a review from a new listener, Rhys Anstey.
Oh, Chunky, yeah,
aka Chunky.
Yes.
Very, very complimentary.
Glamorgan Brewing, like.
Is this Rhys Anstey who we've given multiple shout outs over for Glamorgan Brewing, thinking he'd been listening and supporting us the whole time? Is that the very same?
I know he's finally listened, and he doesn't fucking work at Glamorgan Brewing anymore.
Classic
outside
of company. But give us a nice little listen, and then asked if he could ask a question, and I chased him on the question, and he's actually shit out.
Too scared.
He's got a bit nervous, yes. But he said he has said he'll think of one for next week.
Oh, great. We look forward to it, Rhys.
If he plucks up the courage.
He'd be more embarrassed now that we've outed him. He won't fucking ask a question. He'll have fucking blocked you, Joe.
There's another listener
okay,
lost.
This is a safe space, Rhys. Don't worry. Yes.
He's lying. It isn't. But
it's not for you. No, with the shit that you're about.
Definitely not for me, because, well, we're moving on
to your
next Tuesday of the week.
Yeah.
And, we had a couple of nominations. Matthew Harris has thrown Boris Johnson's name into the hat.
But he's in the hat every fucking
week. Every week.
Like, you can't win it every week. He's just a permanent... There we are. Dropped in.
Wow.
Well, you know, he deserves it anyway. But I thought there was a funny one, which we were going to mention earlier, but Mitchie Ed for Bristol, was it?
Brilliant.
This is more of a funny one, but yeah, basically he went to return to the field. Was it after a sin bin or a tackle swap or something? And he went to run on the field with his mask still on. And then he realised halfway on he still had his fucking mask on. So
give it to him.
More funny. Give it to him. Give it to him. No, no, we're not giving it to him at all. So getting out of it. So there's only one winner this week who actually posted this on the Ruck Me Sideways channels.
No, I'm having
without,
it.
Without discussing with the boys. And also, you did on your personal one first, new before...
Yeah, fucked up.
Yeah, absolute blunder. But yeah, Rhys basically has been spouting all week that he reckons the Halaholo pass to Zamit before his fucking wonder try was forward.
Mile forward.
And basically, I've had to direct him to a YouTube video on how physics fucking works. So
right, but
when you're running forward,
the ball
goes forward.
The best thing about this... No, the best is pipe down, Rhys. The best thing about this argument was that Rhys was so passionate about how forward this pass was, and everyone he's spoken to about it has shut him down and said absolutely
no
chance.
Apart from Taffy, who works for fucking Wales.
Apart from Matt Sports Wales, yeah.
The most respectable sports journalist in Wales, Matthew Southcombe.
He's been outed by Ferris this last month. Like Stephen Ferris fucking wants to end him. So.
Oh, was he?
Taff.
Yeah, do you not know this, Aljo? Basically, he said Stephen Ferris had said that Welsh rugby need to pull their finger out, or they're not producing the goods. And turns out it was actually fucking Darren Cave who said
Darren
it. And he got the accents. He couldn't decipher the two. And he'd written a whole article, Stephen Ferris says Welsh rugby not producing the goods. And Ferris outed him on Twitter and said, I didn't say this. please take this back. This is fucking misrepresentation.
There's
one man you don't want tailing you. Fucking hell.
Anyway,
Rhys, go on in, fight your corner. If anyone hasn't seen it, fucking turn off now. See you next week. You don't want to listen to this shite.
See you next Tuesday. I'm adamant there's forward. And you know, you sent me this thing about physics,
but
I understand. I understand you can throw the ball backwards out of your hands and it can travel forward with momentum.
Which is what
I completely understood that. But his hands went forward. And it's only that.
No.
Only that the lines, you can't see the lines on the field properly. If you look at the 10-meter line compared to his hands, they're miles forward. And the thing that saved him is that he didn't stop dead.
It's the angle of the camera, isn't it, you softy?
Exactly. Yeah, but, mate, his hands go forward, right? And the thing that saves him, he doesn't stop dead. If he stops dead with that pass, it's called forward. He carries on running.
Well, yes.
And Taffy,
he's a good
so Matt,
player.
Pipe down now, bud. I'm fucking fighting my corner,
sorry,
about it. Me and Matt. Matt... has said that on a closer inspection, he agreed with me, and he said, I would tweet this out. He said, I'm thinking about tweeting this, but I know I'll have a hell of a backlash. And I also invited him on the pod. I invited him on the pod to help me out. I said, come on, bud. They're trying to make me do fucking six halves. And he said, well, he said, I'm not coming on the pod with you because the only thing that's going to happen is I'll be stood next to you doing fucking 6 halves. So that's why he's not here.
That is the truth. Yeah.
Well, but Reese, his body is facing the touchline, right? Everything is backwards, but I don't care what you say. So what would you rather?
Everything's backward apart from his
Scotland
hands.
Scotland beat Wales, will you? Would you rather that?
I'm not saying
sad
that.
Sad bastard.
I'm not saying that. It was just a forward pass. Simple as.
Nah,
we had a fair few votes for it as well. Smeagol was one of them. He thought it was forward. I've always thought he's a
copper. You can't trust him.
He knows his rugby inside out. So
the bomb diffuser, like.
But I'll take the the week on the chin. Fuck it.
Yeah,
bring it on.
I'm just sorry, but it's just I thought when you honestly put it in the group, I thought you were taking the piss. I thought someone had said it was forward, and you were just going to laugh at them like we would laugh at you. But no, you were being genuine. So
mile forward.
I'm just amazed. I do.
Actually,
I'm amazed.
Actually think Reese is fighting his case more than my Moules Marinier here as well.
I'm not going that far.
Oh fucking hell! Oh no! Oh no! There's
I'm
a line,
happy to
though.
Win something, but I'll take her. Fucking right.
Well, we'll scour the footage again after this weekend. And we'll try and find some other forward passes, Reese, so we can just
be
controversial for the sake of it.
No, we fucking
get over it. But yeah, watch So Are Yalu tackling Shane Williams. That's the next one.
Yeah,
you're gonna tell me that wasn't
well,
a fucking.
I probably agree with that. That's probably
that wasn't foul play,
obvious,
though, was it? Fucking hell.
Well, no, it probably was, but he just got away with it. Like Halaholo got away with a forward pass. It wasn't.
Well,
you reckon anyway? But I don't know why you're trying to find faults in like he did it for Wales, but so you shouldn't.
I just noticed it at the time, but I just pay close attention, unlike anyone else, by the sounds of things. But here we go.
On that bombshell.
Ruck off. Full of him now, so.
Come ruck yourselves. I'll just edit all that last bit out, and we'll give the week. And this week's the week is Mitch Eadie.
You do that, and I will out you on fucking social media.
Like
Rock off.
Good night, lads.